Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and today is Tuesday. And on Tuesday, that is where I, along with another, either a pastor or someone with a spiritual background in leadership, basically we do a show on Tuesday, and we entitle it From the Pulpit to the Couch. And when we do that, we are offering spiritual teachings and guidance as it relates to the Word of God, in addition to what individuals may be dealing with, suffering from, and things that basically come up on a day-to-day basis as we are enduring our Christian and spiritual walk. Now, today's topic has to do with spiritual depression. And that's a topic that is interesting because there's times when individuals may experience trials and tribulations. We may be going through some things. In California, we just went through an earthquake. A lot of individuals are dealing with family matters, marital issues. And when we start talking about these things, this can often lead to symptoms of depression, basically, on what they're going through. And that is a time when individuals may fail to feel God's presence and sometimes even question his existence. So today I'm going to have Pastor Delano Blackwell on the line with me, and we're going to be talking about that from a Christian perspective. So let me log my God brother on. Hello, Mr. Blackwell. How are you doing? Can you hear me? Okay, it's taking a while to log on, but we go get there.
I'm
okay.
Here.
Can you hear me, Blackwell?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds kind of muffled, and my little circle is still going around and around and around. But tell the listeners who you are, and then we're going to start in dabbing into the subject.
Okay.
I don't know why you sound... Oh, this sounds like Michelle. Is this Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay, Michelle. You know what? I'm thinking you the pastor calling on the line. I was like, wait a minute. How this don't sound like Pastor Blackwell? Well, thank you for joining me, Michelle. I can hear you better now. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Now, I'm waiting on Pastor Blackwell to join us on the line as we talk about this topic. Now, we start, like I said, talking about spiritual depression. Michelle, I'm going to need you to mute your background because I hear a lot of noise.
I don't know from what, but okay, hold on.
Okay, because I know I'm on my phone and I just was hearing a lot of stuff, and I know I'm sitting here by myself. Okay, so I guess I'm having some internet problems, but that's okay. So we start talking about depression. And what are some of the symptoms of depression? Now, during the month of July and other months, we have where we do awareness, where we talk about different things to try to educate individuals about different things as it relates to mental health. Now, yesterday I was on the air and I talked about mental health and substance use. Now, today, because today is Tuesday, we're going to be doing the show, like I said, From the Pulpit to the Couch, and we will be basically, like I said, talking about it from a spiritual matter. Now, again, I'm still waiting on Pastor Blackwell to join us on the air, but I want to give you, the listeners, some information. And first, I want to thank you for joining me. Now, when we start talking about depression, before we even start talking about spiritual depression, because I'm going to stay in my lane as a licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, I want to give you, the listeners, some information, and talks about 15 signs you may have depression. Because just because you go to church doesn't mean that you will not experience some things that happen to individuals. Because depression is something that don't discriminate. It has nothing to do with your age, your race, your culture, as well as your spiritual belief or practices. Now, some of the signs that you may have depression can vary widely as the root cause of depression itself. And like I said, it doesn't discriminate. But race and gender may play a role, age and health may play a role, as well as many other things that we deal with on our daily lives. You know, we always talk about troubles don't last always, and we're going through trials and tribulations, and sometimes Christians say, oh, I'm going through, and, you know, but then we start wondering, are you depressed? Are you stepping on, or are you connecting with your faith? But here are some of the symptoms. One is feelings of unexplained sadness. Now, just because you said doesn't automatically mean that you are depressed, but that sadness can come as a lot of different things. It can be grief. It can be in waves. But what happens with depression is depression digs deep, and it is constant. It can affect your self-esteem. It creates sadness that does not ease and is intermixed with pleasant memories. This characteristic sometimes can make doctors and researchers think that there may be a specific brain or chemical imbalance. Another thing is excessive ruminating. A lot of times individuals will ruminate over things. Another sign that you may have depression. I don't know why my gadgets are not working the way they're supposed to, Michelle. Give me one second. Is you can lose interest in things, meaning have you stopped enjoying your hobbies, your friends, your activities? But again, you may go to church, but are you carrying that with you? Are you having any unplanned weight change, meaning you're not trying to lose weight, but apparently you are losing weight, or you're having a decrease in your appetite? Some other symptoms and signs that you may be dealing with depression is you noticing yourself slowing down. Someone may ask you why you're walking slowly, or they may interrupt you and say you need to hurry along, but it seems like everything is just going slow. One may have excessive worry, which is another thing, and we see that a lot in the church, especially with the mothers of the church. It seems like, you know, people are going through things. It seems like they're worrying about a lot of things. And some people used to say, oh, I have a lot on my mind. But what do they actually mean when you say or one say that they have a lot on their mind? Another sign that you may have depression is feelings of guilt, calling yourself a failure, believing that you are you disappointed or failed your family and feeling bad about yourself. Those are also signs and symptoms that you may have depression. And insomnia is another one where you have difficulty sleeping, where you can't sleep at night. And as I'm seeing some of these things, I'm thinking of some of the spiritual songs and gospel songs that kind of go with some of these symptoms and signs that individuals may be having bouts of depression. And as I go through this list, and this took me to another thing, let me call Mr. Blackwell and see where Mr. Blackwell is, because it is unlike him to be taking us long to call in on the show, because he did have me send him the number. Wait a minute, give me one second. So, Michelle, since you're on the line with me, do you have any questions as it relates to this topic when we talk about spiritual depression? Okay, I don't hear you. All right, let me see if I can reach Mr. Blackwell and find out what is taking him so long to call in. Yeah, but you didn't call in.
All right, let me call in then.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm on the radio.
I did that, but I need you to call in because you're on my other phone. Bye. Okay, I guess Mr. Blackwell kind of lost track of time. So he will be on the air with me in a minute, and we will continue with this topic as we're talking about spiritual depression, because I definitely want to hear what he has to say when we talk about this, especially from a Christian perspective, especially considering that a lot of times individuals may not know what some of the signs, the symptoms are. And I want to say, and I know he's about to come on the air, is one of the things that I like is there was a guy that I know, and they were doing a what's called a mental health 101. And with that mental health, what they were doing was they were educating individuals that were pastors and different denominations of churches to educate them about the signs and symptoms of mental health so that, when they see it in their congregation, they would know what to look out for and recognize some of the symptoms and try to help some of their members in regards to getting the help that they need. And even amongst the congregation, like myself, sometimes you don't know, or there may be some professionals that attend service that also may be aware and notice some of the signs and symptoms that a person may be going through and, you know, may be able to reach out and offer them some type of resources or give them some information to send them to a place where they may be able to get some help. Now, we still waiting on Blackwell. I don't know what he is doing or what is going on with that. I may just have to call him on the line this way. Give me 1 second. So I can type in his number. Oops, I set up. Oh, good Lord. 756. Okay, let me call him in. Okay, look like he called in right now. Oh, I think he called in. Okay, I don't have to do that. Okay, let me hang that up.
Yes.
Okay, hello?
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. I think I done made a boo-boo. Let me give me 1 second.
Yeah, I see you
still
dialing.
I got you ringing. I know. You know what? I'm calling you, and I don't know how I did that. Let me cancel this one. Okay. Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
Okay, Blackwood, I'm going to have to hang you up and call you back in because I was trying to call you on the line, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I done messed something up. So the phones are ringing.
I can feel it.
I don't know how to hang this up on up. Let me see something. I don't know what I did.
That was interesting.
Okay. I'm canceling that. Okay. Got you. Thank you for joining us, Blackwell. I appreciate you. Now, today's topic, like I said, we're talking about spiritual depression. Now, tell the listeners who you are, and we're going to get into this topic as we provide the information to the listeners and inform them of what that actually even means.
I am Dr. Delano Blackwell, former pastor of the Mount Salem Bible Baptist Church of Oxnard, California. I just called. Yes. Bible subject. I wanted to kind of get it out.
You know what, Blackwell? The phone, the sound is not clear. Okay. I don't know what is.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you
Hello?
Right now, but it sounds like you you're moving around, but I can hear you now. Okay, now what were you telling the listeners? You were telling us you were former pastor of Arts and Art, and what were you saying?
This is a very vital topic where we have to be able to stand against the enemy and his fiery darts. The Bible says that we ought to be able to stand against the wild devil. Devil has no end to his stand against us. And I'm really concerned about the believer and all of the things we go through in this life as believers. and depression is one of the major inner enemies that we face daily, that somehow seemingly always seems to know how to either distract or get the attention of the believer to keep us down and dejected, to make us feel like we don't matter, nor do we exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to know that as Christians, we can stand against this.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Blackwell, I have a question, because I said something earlier about, I remember attending a mental health 101 clinic. And I noticed that by me having a company, and they were, I saw some proposals before, and they were doing things in regards to educating individuals that were leaders or, and doing, you dropped the call, Blackwell, so you're going to have to call me back. And they were doing more pastoral teaching to be more acknowledged, or basically be more aware and acknowledge what some of the symptoms of depression was amongst their congregation. And I heard what you were saying in regards to, we start talking about a darkness, and a lot of times individuals may not even see it as a darkness, but it can be. And I was seeing some of the, and giving the listeners some information about some of the symptoms earlier, but I want to start all over with that, and in regards to some of the symptoms, because although depression may occur only once during a person's lifetime, people typically have multiple episodes. And during these episodes, symptoms occur most of the day, nearly every day, and may include feelings of sadness, tearfulness, emptiness, and hopelessness. So when I say that, part of the depression is also being able to rule out suicidality and those thoughts. Angry outbursts, irritability, frustration, even over small matters. Loss of interest or pleasures in most of all normal activities, such as sex, hobbies, or sports. Sleep disturbances, I mentioned earlier, such as insomnia, sleeping too much, tiredness, lack of energy, so even small tasks take extra effort. Reduced appetite, I talked about that before, increased cravings for food, which is something else that happens. Slow thinking, speaking body movements, feelings of worthlessness, guilt, trouble thinking, concentrating, frequent recurrent thoughts of death, suicide, suicide attempts, and suicide, and unexplained physical problems and back pain. Now, Delana, when we're talking about these things, even as a pastor, do you think that pastors are now more aware of when they see that some of their flock may be having symptoms of depression more now than what it was years ago?
You know what? I do think it's more on the rise with symptoms of depression. I do see we're a little bit more knowledgeable now. There's a lot more knowledge out about it, where back in the day when I first got into ministry, there was no knowledge. You
mm-hmm.
didn't know nothing about it. Now there's classes, there's seminars, there's trying to, you know, first stages, how to detect it, the warning signs of early depression. And, you know, there's nothing like a healthy cup of coffee or conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned in just in ministry that you want to have conversation with as many of your members as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You
that
know, just
we
to
used
find
to say
out
you know where your head
doing.
Is.
Right. When you know where the head is, everything's all right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's interesting, Delano, because you know we both grew up in the church, especially being kids, and I know my mom battled with symptoms of depression, and the first thing she did was ran to the church. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
they used to say that the church is like a hospital for sick individuals. And I want to put it out there just to let people know when to see a doctor. If you feel depressed, make an appointment to see your doctor or mental health professional as soon as you can. If you are reluctant to seek treatment, talk to a friend, a loved one, or healthcare professional, a faith leader, or someone else you trust. We have to end the silence and the taboo when it comes to mental health. And one of the things I want to say, Delano, even before I go to this, and I'm going to make sure I don't forget it as we go through the segment, but I want to give you some information on when to get emergency help. If you think you may hurt yourself or attempt suicide, please call 911 or your local emergency number immediately. Don't just call your pastor then. Also, consider these options if you're having suicidal thoughts. Call your doctor or mental health professional. Call a suicide hotline number. In the United States, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. And use that number, save that number. They also have a veteran crisis hotline. Like I said, reach out to a friend. You could contact a minister, spiritual leader, or someone else in your faith community, but reach out to someone. Now, one of the things I was about to say in regards to don't automatically call your pastor, because Pastor Blackwell, that's one thing some people want to do, but they don't realize that their pastor may not be able to help them at that time, and sometimes they start either questioning God, they don't know what the depression is coming from, and I know you said something about a spiritual attack of the enemy. Can you give the listeners some information when we talk about spiritual depression, and then I'll give them some information regarding some of the causes?
Now, before I get into that, I also want to give you another number. 211 is a good number to call.
Yes, 211 is.
I never forget, I was going through a time in my life through a divorce, and I needed to reach out for some help for my daughter. And I called them. They were Johnny on the spot. They were excellent.
Mm-hmm.
They got us some help. And don't feel bad about calling out to reach, because you don't know everything. Trust me. We play this game. We know everything. We don't know everything. And that was one time in my life I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I called the 211 number, and I spoke with the young lady, and the young lady helped get my daughter some help, and I was cool. So spiritual depression, they are pretty much the same thing, Jeanette. A lot of people don't understand it. There's no difference in a physical and a spiritual depression. They both the same attack. The problem is what do you turn it into?
Mm-hmm.
Are you turning it into a worldly attack? Are you turning it into a spiritual attack? It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are. You know what you're being attacked for. You know when Satan is attacking you or when the world is attacking you. As Christians, you have to be able to designate a degree of lifestyle of living to know when the world is attacking you versus when Satan is attacking you. A lot of people who have not given their heart to Christ, and it is so funny, don't understand that Satan doesn't attack what already belongs to him. He doesn't do that. Satan will just give him candies and good gifts, but he doesn't attack what belongs to him. And there's so many people in this world who go through things, spiritual attacks. And I say this because the Christian realm, Jeanette, gets hit by the enemy so bad because we don't know God's word. So we don't know where the attack is coming from. We don't know where the attack is coming for. We don't know what to do when we get in the middle of the attack. We don't know why there's an attack. There's an attack because you're a Christian, period.
Mm-hmm.
Satan does not want you to maintain your joy or your spirituality. He does not want you to worship or praise God. Matter of fact, you got to remember you took his job. Satan does not want you to love on God. He doesn't want that. He does not want to go to hell by himself. So he's going to take all with him who will serve him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a major issue.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Blackwell, it's interesting because one of the things that was coming to my head, and I'm thinking of just being in a congregation, and, you know, we talk about trials and tribulations and what people go through and, you know, whether you're dealing with your kids, whether you're dealing with a divorce, or any type of relational or marital issue. But one of the things that I have seen often in the church, Blackwell, is when individuals are dealing with a sickness and how that
right.
sickness can also present itself as individuals are going through symptoms of depression, especially with cancer, diabetes, because we have a lot of individuals sometimes in church that are going through medical problems, mental health problems.
Right.
And
right.
they also deal with depression at a very high level. And it questions and it makes cause them sometimes to doubt their relationship with God or their spirituality. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Uh-huh. Say that one more time. One more time, Jeanette.
I was talking about how a lot of times in the church we see individuals that are going through illnesses, you know, sometimes cancer, diabetes, you know,
right.
a lot of other things, different types of relational issues, whether it's the breakup of a marriage or their kids are out of order and out of control. And we see individuals in the church bringing all of those issues and troubles, and they say, cast your cares on him, take it to the altar. But then they may also, as a result of that, be dealing with symptoms of depression because they don't know what to do, and they start questioning their spirituality or their relationship with God. When you
well,
start seeing these things, you know we're under attack.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. One of the things the first thing you always hear is, why?
Mm-hmm.
What did I do to deserve this? Why? I'm trying to be a good Christian. You always hear it, why? And here's the case in point. Satan doesn't care. He always attacks. And yes, Jeanette, you just don't know how many people watch their loved ones who one Sunday walked in the church. Fine. Next Sunday they're on the prayer list because they got fatal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They found out on the weekend. There's been situations where the man and his wife came in whistling on Sunday. And his wife came in with her head down the next Sunday because he landed in the hospital and can't even move his toe.
Mm-hmm.
He can't move nothing on his body. And you know what, Jeanette? Me and you have a mutual friend that we went to school with. And he can't move anything on the left side of his body. And he is just frustrated as all get outside. And I pray for him every day, and I kind of understand part of his frustration because this is not his first stroke.
Mm-hmm.
This is his second stroke.
Wow.
And I can only understand, you know, sit back and get him to listen, to ask him. I can only wonder to hear his prayers, him asking God, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Not only
for the first one, for the second one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, why? Why would you let this happen again? I was walking. I was all the way back up on my feet. Now, here it is again. You knocked me all the way back down. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things that it will mentally mess your mind up to where you
mm-hmm.
now have people who have went from loving God to where they can't stand God, they can't stand family. I have a pastor friend, Jeanette. I don't want to call his name because people may know him. Very successful. I love him to death. He had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
His church was waiting for him to come back to the pulpit
mm-hmm.
because he felt he wasn't at 100%. He didn't want to come back. But the church voted to wait for him, and he didn't want to come back. And to this day, he's never picked up his Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Just won't even go to church, act like a wild goat. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just sit back, and it just makes me cry to watch my friends and my family members go through things like this, but there's nothing you can do for them.
Correct.
Nothing. But pray for them
mm-hmm.
and ask the Lord to work on them and then try to help them or lead them into the way of counseling. Now, that's the
Correct.
Key where I want to go. I really want to drop this. The hardest part is getting people who don't like to talk.
Correct. Correct.
See,
and especially when you're talking about depression, Delano, and because I know Sunday I was telling you that I was hurting so bad I couldn't even walk into church. I sat pretty much in the foyer the whole service because my body been kicking my butt. So sometimes I even have difficulties even putting my clothes on. I got to call my godbrother and be like, help, you know, do this for the dog, do this. You know, and I was listening to the thing with, and I think it was Michelle Obama, and she was talking about marriage and all of that, and she said, I don't want to be nobody's nurse and I don't want to be nobody's purse. And I was like, wow. But we're getting up so much in age to where our bodies are just shutting down, breaking down, and I mean, I used to hear people talk about the activities of their limb, and I never thought about that until, you know, you having a hard time trying to wipe your butt. You know, and that's definitely a challenge. And sometimes, Blackwell, that can affect your mind frame in regards to how you think and your mental. You know, physical is one thing, but when it starts affecting you mentally, and like you say, going to get you some help, talking to somebody, working that thing out, taking it in prayer, and sometimes that can be a challenge. And see, we have to also have a better understanding as it relates to mental health, but also in regards to counseling, because, you know, that's something that's foreign to a lot of us. We weren't taught that. And a lot of times people don't think it's going to help, or they feel that people are not going to understand, and it's trying to find that light at the end of the tunnel and stepping out on your faith. That also plays a big role.
You know, we have to learn, and this is the truth, we have to learn how to verbally.
Okay, man, I don't know who you're calling, but I'm ringing.
I ain't trying to call nobody. We have to learn how to verbally speak to our friends. Mm-hmm. Verbalize our hurts. Verbalize our pain. Do you know we don't know how to do that?
Oh, I know. You know what
we don't know. We don't know. We
They'll say, "Oh, I'm fine." And you know, therapeutically, we had to find being I'm effed up, insecure, needy, and emotional, but I'm fine. Oh, everything's okay. Or everything's gonna be all right. No, it may not always just be all right. So I got a text message from your godson. I got to open it up. I haven't even opened it up yet because I wasn't even ready to read it yet. So I got to see what his situation is. You know, but people can easily slip into depression, but you don't have to stay depressed if you get you some help. And that's basically what you're talking about right now, Blackwell, is knowing how to reach out and get some help and accept the help. You know, a lot of times that's one of the hardest things, too, for believers. We'll say, oh, I'm waiting on God. Oh, God, go change my situation. Oh, it's going to get better. What are your comments in regards to that?
You know, I have no problem with people waiting on God. But then let me ask you a question. How are you going to wait on God if God sent you a boat? A canoe, a ferry, a submarine, and you're going to sit there and keep waiting? And God can show you other areas to do to bless you, but are you going to ever open your eyes up to it? I have no problem with you waiting on God as long as you understand how to receive God.
And you know what, Blackwell, that's powerful, because I just told somebody the other day, and he said something to me, and I responded back. And part of that was basically what you're saying is God works through people. And somebody may come and may be a blessing to you and may speak life into you or may be able to help you because they may have been through what you're going through and can help guide you, but you say, oh, I'm waiting on God, and you just slipping deeper, deeper, deeper into depression and becoming more hopeless and helpless because you're refusing to help and don't even realize it.
I got one better for you.
Have to be more open-minded.
I got one better for you.
Mm-hmm.
90 times out of 10, the person who God sent to bless you is the person you can't stand.
Oh, that's
the person you don't want to hear from, the person you don't want to have nothing to do with, the person you don't feel like dealing with at all. That's the one he sends to bless you. But you don't want to have nothing to do with that. Oh, yeah, I know that one hurt. Take that one for the team right there. I know that hurt. Ouch, amen, wonderful.
Can I get an amen? You right about that. You like, Lord.
Oh, can I just say it like this, like in your words, gotcha.
That is true. So, Pastor, what is a believer to do when that occurs?
Well, I mean, you got to be smart enough to pay attention to knowing when it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a area in all of our lives. Let's be realistic that we all know when it's God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you ain't talked to him lately, there's a place in your life you know when God talking to you. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time and a place where you know when you know it's God. What? Okay, Lord. When you
mm-hmm.
get to a place in your life, so many things are happening to you that's causing you to be so heavy. Because I believe in everyone's life, there's a time where God wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to set aside a time in your life where he wants to hear from you in prayer. But guess what? He can't hear from you in prayer if you're constantly ducking and dodging.
Correct.
If you're constantly doing what you think is right and not, you know, giving him your time, your talent.
Mm-hmm.
We got so many people who just duck and dodge and hit and miss. And he said, you know what, I get them later. Don't worry about it. I get them later. I can't talk. We're going to talk. And the problem is that some of us don't believe that we're going to talk. No, I don't want to talk. Oh, no, buddy, we're going to talk. We're going to have a good conversation.
But you say, I don't want to talk. Not right now, Lord, not right now.
and that's, you know, how some of us are.
That's true. That is so true. And as you're speaking on that, and you're talking about that in regards to, you know, that being heavy on your mind and some of the things that we go through, and a lot of times we feel we're not ready. And sometimes when you start talking about it, and when it starts hitting you like that ton of bricks, and you like, Lord, for real, God, and you spoke on something. I did a show before, and it was entitled God is Trying to Tell Me Something. And that's one of the things. But we start looking at it also from not only just a spiritual matter, but a mental health issue too, because a lot of times when we talk about depression, some individuals have seasonal depression, clinical depression, and it is not always known exactly the causes of depression, as many mental disorders have a variety of factors that may be involved. We talked a little bit about some of the illnesses that people go through, sometimes different relational issues, but sometimes there can be biological differences, meaning people with depression appear to have physical changes in their brain. The significance of these changes are still uncertain, but may eventually help pinpoint causes. Sometimes there's a brain chemistry. We got the hormones going on sometimes. The inherited traits, meaning depression is more common in people whose blood relatives also have this condition. And we also have the risk factors. You know, certain personality traits, such as low self-esteem and being too dependent and critical, can lead to symptoms of depression. Traumatic or stressful events. You know, Pastor, since you're on the phone, you know in California we just had those earthquakes. And a lot
Correct.
Of individuals was going back to, you know, God is coming, he's trying to tell us something. You know, do you think a lot of people are, that's going to cause a lot of individuals to run to the church now?
Oh, that's what they expect. That's
mm-hmm.
what they expect. They want to highlight. Every guy tries to highlight on that. Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm.
You need to come to church. You need to come to church. Let me say something to you. Let me be the first one to get out. You should have been in church regardless of whether the earth shake or not. Because he coming back. You can't stop it. He coming back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got a promise. You got one promise. Let me tell you the promise. Promise He ain't going to flood the earth, but he is going to destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't need to trip.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, and when you say that, and we start talking about depression, because you know my thing is depression, I always try to avoid it, stay away from it, because, again, blood relatives with a history of depression, and, you know, my mother had symptoms of depression. I was like, ooh, I don't want to mess with that, because I saw the sadness, and, I mean, I don't want to deal with it. And another area, we talked about some of the risk factors and when individuals can be at risk of depression, is history of other mental health disorders, such as depression, anxiety, eating disorders,
right,
and post-traumatic stress, abuse of alcohol, recreational drugs.
That are good through August. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
We talked about serious chronic illnesses. We talked about also certain medications can also lead to symptoms of depression, meaning high blood pressure medications, sleeping pills. So you want to make sure you talk to your doctor about things of that nature, too. Now, Pastor, in the church, and talking about spiritual depression, now I want to give the listeners some information in regards to some prevention, and this is more from a clinical, psychological point of view. Even though that there's always not a cure to prevent depression, but these are some strategies that can help. One is take steps to control your stress. One of the things that was told to me on Sunday was, Jeanette, you got to reduce some of your stress. Now, I don't see myself as one that's stressed about things, but I guess stress carries and weighs itself on people differently, just like even with depression. But you got to take those steps to control the stress and increase your resilience and boost your self-esteem. Another one is reach out to family and friends, which is what you were talking about, is because we got to talk to somebody. Get treatment, meaning once you notice that the early sign of a problem, and consider long-term maintenance treatment. Pastor, a lot of times individuals are scared of medications too, also medications in the church, because one of the things is people say, oh, it's a spirit, we're going to pray for you. Pastor, what does that really mean when we start telling individuals when they're going through to try to give them some hope from a spiritual perspective?
You know, we always want to always start any kind of therapy with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the old preacher, you say what prayer can't do just can't be done. I agree with that.
I like that.
That's good. What prayer can't do can't be done. But there are some mental things that happens in our mind that we won't allow prayer to do. Now, remember what I said. There are some mental things that happens in our mind that we won't allow prayer to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer plus medication is a need.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some people
mm-hmm.
who need to be on a medication to slow their mind down.
Correct.
To slow their, because they'll do everything else but what they need to do, because that situation, that problem, it just, man, it just rolls over and balls up into this big thing, and it's really nothing big, but because of what's going on inside of them mentally, it's
mm-hmm.
humongous. It's yeah. like trying to put a lion in a Volkswagen. I mean, an elephant in a Volkswagen ain't gonna fit. You can't
mm-hmm.
put that elephant in a Volkswagen. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We take on creatures that creates inside of us that's too large. And we got to learn how to be like David. David said, you got to learn how to enlarge me, make me bigger than the situation.
Mm-hmm.
That means the situation is really psychologically bigger than me, but Lord, make me psychologically bigger than the situation so the situation
Correct.
Doesn't swallow me where I swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
I might
not be stable
for a few moments, but I'll be
mm-hmm.
all right. Uh-huh.
You know, Pastor, there's a saying that used to say, how big is your problem, how big is your God? Now, I have some information, and it basically comes from A Place for Truth, and it indicates that most of us go through times of spiritual things as a Christian in life, and this can be brief or entire seasons, which basically when we fail to feel God's presence and divine things. if you have been a Christian for a period of time, you are most likely to experience this reality. In the midst of these times, we often struggle to know why this feeling has creeped into our hearts. It is good for us to search our hearts in times of this, and we must ask the Lord to give us wisdom in identifying the cause, which is what you said earlier, even as we continue to seek Him. So that means even if you are going through depression spiritually, don't give up on God because He won't give up on you. Now, they indicate 8 of the common causes. One is physical tiredness. And I think of older individuals when they say, baby, I'm just so tired. Now, men, body and soul, and there are times when our physical bodies are just exhausted. Our bodies affect our souls, and even as our soul affects the body, this physical tiredness can be caused by multiple things. Could you be laboring in your own strength as opposed to the Lord? And that's in Philippians 1:28-29. Maybe you are dealing with spiritual depression because you may be living an imbalanced life with respect to your work and faith. Have you neglected the weekly routine of rest in the Lord's day? Could it be that you're just too busy all of the time and the life is taking its toll upon you? If this is the case, rest your body. You know, Delana, when you've been calling me, I've been telling you I've been getting my rest. The other night I did 8 hours. Last night I did 7 hours. I've been getting me some rest. So what do you think about the physical tiredness as a cause in the church of spiritual depression?
It could be. It depends on the person.
Another one is neglect of the means of grace. Because even as we feed our bodies, we must feed our souls. We must attend corporate, private, and family worship. We need to sit under the word of God preached each week. Our affections need to be stirred in prayer, and we need to feed our souls at the Lord's table. Have we allowed ourselves to avoid fellowship with other saints? You know, Pastor, sometimes when people get depressed, they stop going to church. They just shut down.
And I'm glad you bring that up because that's major. That's
mm-hmm.
major. One of the things it is, if you start noticing something, they start practicing isolation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of them niggas. Them niggas down there ain't no good. And I said, God, I don't mean it like that. And I apologize to that, but that's,
mm-hmm.
them people down there at the church ain't no good. How dare them act like this? They ain't no good.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get.
Another one is trials and suffering. Trials and sufferings can lead to spiritual depression, and maybe we have either, like I said, lost a job, a friend, our home, a spouse, or even a child, because persecution or betrayal has descended upon us, and we are suffering the effects. At times, we suffer spiritual depression because we do not have a healthy expectation of trials and suffering coming into our lives. Even in Philippians 1:27-30, and if that is the case, we need to remind ourselves to expect them. And in Matthew 10:38, to preserve them through. Now this trial will end, and we are not alone. Though we may feel abandoned, nothing could be further from the truth. He is with us. You know, when we also talk about, and I think about that because someone called me yesterday and they said, you know, what was that scripture somebody told you? And it was Psalms 37. And I remember when someone told me about Psalms 37 and I stood on that word and I saw everything come to pass when I was going through some things financially with my business. But by that same token, we got to make sure when we talk about troubles don't last always and no weapons formed against me shall prosper, but it doesn't mean that the weapons will not be formed. So we just got to be prepared also for our spiritual depression, spiritual warfare. And another one is the cares of the world. The homes we live in, the jobs we occupy, the recreations we pursue, the investments we hope in, and all of these things of the world can begin to edge on our joy in the Lord. And in Mark 4:19, it also indicates how we too can be invested in things of the world. We would do well to remember Demas, a man who enjoyed the inner circle of Apostle Paul's ministry. Now, when I think about the in regards to the talking about the and with the world. You remember when a lot of people made these investments and the stock market crashed and people's houses was upside down? It seemed like it was so many people dealing with depression and suicidality. They thought their world had just come to an end. But then there was still some that still kept continuing to worship and still kept continuing to pray. Now, I have a question, Michelle, because I know you want to line. Do you have any questions for the pastor? Okay, so she didn't say anything.
Not really.
Okay. All right, so Pastor, I have a question. As a pastor, what is some advice or some spiritual teaching that you can give the listeners to help them when they're going through spiritual depression? Because we got about 9 minutes left on the show. I'm checking my Facebook to see if anyone's texting me any questions. If you want to call in, if you have any questions, give me a call at 516-387-1914. Okay, Pastor, what are some of the tips you can give some of the believers and even non-believers to help them if they are questioning
well,
God
the first,
and feel like God has left
them? The first thing I would tell you, you want to pray and seek God. But now remember, the only way you could seek God is through prayer and his word. You got to put those two together. You can't do one and not do the other one. You got to put them together. You got to use your prayer life and his word. You got to put them together. Then once you put those two together, you'll seek God's faith, and you start listening for his word in your heart, and his word will permeate in you and show up in you, and you'll ask him for guidance and leadings and directions on what to do and how to do it. One of the major things in the life of the believer is we don't want to take the time to seek God's face through his word. Prayer life is one thing, but we don't know enough of his word. We are probably the most, I don't have the word in my mouth right now, but we don't pay attention to the Bible enough to read enough to know what God has for us. And God has so many things for us, and we just don't know enough about of his word to say this nor that. And it's disgusting to say I'm a Christian, not to know what you have as a Christian. Don't you know the saddest thing for me to be is to be a child of God and not know what I possess as a child of God? That's one of the problems. That's why we have so much spiritual madness going on, because we don't know what we possess. If we knew what we possess, then we wouldn't have to worry about spiritual warfare. We could take on the same flight as Jesus, but we don't know what we possess. So we have all of these issues in front of us: health, marriage, children, raising children, the world, all of these things. But all we got to do is we got to learn how to communicate with God. We got to learn how to communicate with our mate. And then sometime we may need to learn how to communicate with a doctor. Because guess what? Sometimes we can go somewhere else to get fixed too.
Correct. You know what? I have another question for you, but I want to put this information out here because I'm looking online, and I found some information, and it talks about Christian depression counselor spiritually informed therapy. And that is a new type of therapy. You know, we talk about all the different type of therapeutic approaches, but we have one now called spiritually informed therapy. And they offer private, affordable, professional Christian. They have online counseling. Get help anytime, anywhere, unlimited counseling. Counselors available 24/7. And as I look at their information, it was www.faithfulcounseling, and it says Faithful Counseling is designed as a solution for people seeking traditional mental health counseling who would prefer hearing from the perspective of a Christian. If you're seeking a mental health professional who is practicing Christian, Faithful Counseling may be a great option for you. Their unique platform holds several advantages over traditional face-to-face therapy, as it allows you the ability to connect with your counselor at any time. Counseling is not for individually scheduled sessions and can be extended to text-based counseling. You have the choice of communicating with a counselor in the manner that you're most comfortable with, either by phone, video call, or messaging. Drastically more affordable than face-to-face, and the assurance that your counselor will be a good fit. You're always welcome to switch to a different counselor if need be. And so that's one of the things that you can look for, or you can go online, and I find it to be very interesting because even with Psychology Today is another place where you can find a good therapist if you're looking for some help. But there are individuals that do Christian-based therapy, but you got to remember, it's still going to be a crossover because like Pastor Blackwell was saying, sometimes you may need, you may not hear what you always want to hear, even
right.
from a Christian perspective. So it's not going to be, oh, well, God, go do this and God, go do that, because sometimes
right.
you got to do the work too. Because if God can bring you to it, he can bring you through it. And if you are too depressed to believe what we know in regards to that darkness, because depression is sometimes darkens the door of most Christians, and it can be spiritual, it can be an emotional fog that stubbornly clouds our happiness, you got to do some work too. So, you know, there is help out there. There's information out there. And, you know, and even if you're battling this unbelief or disbelief, you know, one of the things that I found, Blackwell, is I listen to spiritual music. You know, I will listen
yeah.
to, you know, Yolanda Adams. I'll listen to things to lift in my spirits and brighten my day. Or I'll click on a TJ to see what he got to say. So somebody to give me some type of confirmation. Because you want to know it's going to be all right. What are some of the other things
right.
that individuals can do?
Well, I would say read. I would say go out
mm-hmm.
and take walks. I would say go find you a beach. Learn to fall in love with the nature of God. I like the beach. I used to
mm-hmm.
love to go to the beach. But I didn't like to
mm-hmm.
go out in the daytime. I used to love to go to the beach at night. I used to love to go sit and watch the waves at night out at the beach. And that was my thing. But everybody got a pet peeve that they like.
Mm-hmm.
Find your pet peeve. You know, find you something
mm-hmm.
like go sit at the park. Some people like going to the park. And just watching,
mm-hmm.
watching what's going on. I used to love to go to the mall and sit down and eat at the mall just to watch people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes being therapeutic, that means you got to be creative. You just got to
mm-hmm.
learn how to do what you like doing. That
mm-hmm.
you know, there's people in this world who are more therapeutic, who can control their blood pressure just by going to the mall or shopping. Their blood
mm-hmm.
pressure dropped by 20 and 30 points because they go to the mall and shop.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what it is to be have high blood pressure because they've used other ways of the world to formulate how not to let depression take them over.
Correct. Now, Delana, I want to read this, and then I want you to give these individuals a prayer or give them another word of hope. But I found something that talks about emotions to the depressed Christian. And it basically indicates you got to remember that you are not alone. So if, as a Christian, depression tempted individuals to distrust God that was desperately seeking deliverance and he seemed to withhold from them, God has not forgotten about you. So just remember you're not alone. And you can check out the word from Jeremiah, Elijah, and David and some of the prayers. Also, God's love and faithfulness will never depend on us. Depression makes it hard to choose the right Christian things that individually usually don't want to trust God or they get mad at God. But remember, it all depends on us, and pain doesn't have to be wasted. We can handle doubts, frustrations, failures, and darkest moments because he is an astoundingly gracious God. He loves us through it all because that is simply who he is. So there's this saying we say, don't give up on God, and he won't give up on you because he's able. So, Pastor Blackwell, what do you want to leave the listeners with as we close out this show today?
Let me say this.
And you mark my word, please don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. I know how it seems like you may be at your wit's end. You may see, it may seem like the lights ain't gonna never stop flashing. It may seem like the ambulance ain't gonna never stop coming. It may seem like sickness at your house ain't gonna never get well. It may seem like your money ain't gonna never get right. It may seem like your mate ain't gonna never be good. Let me tell you something, God can turn all that around. Don't give up on God, because he has not forgot about you. Give you some quick word prayer. Let me give you a quick word prayer. First, God, we thank you today. We pray for those right now who stand in your need right now. Father, whatever they've been doing, whatever they're going through, whatever they've been facing, Lord, bless them right now. In the name of Jesus. Touch them right now. Extend to them the measure of mercy. Let them know, Lord, that you are with them. You have not forgotten them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And until next week, remember, you've got this. Don't know what we're going to talk about yet. That's where we'll come up with another topic. Now, on Monday, I'm going to be talking about workplace dating, because that seems to be a topic of discussion where individuals are dating people that they work with and not realizing the dangers that may occur with that. So, Jeanette Abney and Precious Predicaments blogs, you know, that might stop a lot of affairs and all kind of stuff. We start talking about workplace dating. So, it's about education, about education. Again, my name is Jeanette Abney. Thank you for joining me. Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. If you have any topics, any suggestions, ideas, you can find me by Googling my name, Jeanette Abney, or Jeanette Abney LMFT. Or you can go to, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Catch me if you know me personally. I'm more than willing to talk about what it is you want to hear. Again, thank you. Thank you, Brother Blackwell, for joining me. I appreciate you. Thank you, Michelle, for listening.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.